Amen. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs tonight. We are still in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And in we've made it all the way down there to verse 4. Amen. There's a lot to unpack in a proverb. You know, it's not like the, you know, history or a story, or it's just sometimes it's a lesson in a saying. It's a wise saying, so we unpack it a little bit. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox." So, number one, keeping things clean. Keeping things clean. Keeping the main thing the main thing. All right? Talking about that's the blank. The last one was clean. But keeping the main thing the main thing. Number one, cleanliness is next to godliness, right? Well, not always. I love that. I used to trap people with that. I don't do it anymore because I didn't mean to trap people. I thought I was just being funny. And I said, cleanliness next to godliness, that's in the Bible. And people say, yeah, that's in the Bible. And I said, yeah, where's that at? They're like, well, you know, it ain't in there. So cleanliness is not next to godliness. Well, it's not always. I mean, hey, being clean is a good thing. Okay, God loves order. And so, but that's not always, and that's what we want to look at this evening is that thing. So number two, the best way to keep the cattle stall clean is to not have any cattle. Right? Isn't that right? If you want to keep the cattle stall clean, don't have any cattle in there making a mess. Right? That is the way. Oxen stink. They do. They stink. They smell like money, right? I used to always walk, we'd drive by a stockyard, and it'd be like, ooh, that smells like money. You know, that's, anyway, it's a, they're messy. They're messy. They make a mess. They don't care where they do their business, right? They don't care what they leave behind. You'll make a nice little bed for them, and they'll walk through it and scatter it. They don't care. They don't care. They're big, and they break things. So we used to watch this it's a veterinarian show, but he does, you know, it's out in Nebraska, and so he's always doing these animals, and man, these things are dangerous. They're big, they're heavy, they break things, they'll break bones. You got to be careful with the things, and they're big, they're messy, they're stinky, they break things. I mean, just look here, B. If the goal is to keep things clean, keep cattle to the minimum, right? If the goal is to keep things clean, then we're going to keep the cattle to the minimum. So, number one, during much of history, the world has primarily been an agricultural society, right? I mean, you know, the world, that's how you produced your own crops. You produced your own meat. You produced your own things. You know, there wasn't no transportation and refrigeration and all these other shuns, right? You took care of yourself, and that's the way it was. And so the oxen were used exclusively for this purpose. These particular oxen, they're big and they're brute, and they have the brute strength. And so, but the oxen had several roles to play. It didn't just do one thing. It did. It had several roles that it would play in this work. So, A, they would plow out the fields, right? So the oxen would, you'd hook it up to that, you know, hook it up to the plow, and it would drive through. Have you ever seen oxen pulling a plow through the fields? Where we're up there in Pennsylvania, the Amish, they don't use tractors in that way. You would see them, and they'd have these oxen and pulling this plow. And there was this market we'd go to on Tuesdays, and so I've always kind of take I've been since I was there. I took Tuesdays off. It was a good day. It's when they had the market. We'd go out. They'd see these the Amish out there. They'd have this, you know, maybe two or three or four or whatever, pulling this plow, and they'd ride on the plow when they're going. And so when we got there, they're working on this field. And when we were leaving, you know, a few hours later, they're still working on this little field. You know? I mean, but it'd be a lot better than if you were doing it with a hoe. You ever plowed with a hand, with a hand tiller? When we first went to Iowa, I was born in Iowa, but when we went to Iowa to start a church, we went to this farm community, and everybody was farmers. And so we went in, and I thought we had this little piece of this property, we had this little piece of land back there, and I thought we should grow a garden. And the people that lived there before us had left a little hand tiller. And I thought, I could do that. Oh, man, the blisters, the work. I thought, this is, you know, I thought next time I'm going to spend $25 and go rent a something. It's a lot of work, you know. And so having that ox to do that is, but not only did they plow the fields, they would they'd also carry the crops home, right? You put them on their back, they'd carry it home, and then when they got home with the crop, they would tread out the crop. I mean, right? They did it all. I mean, right? They plowed the field, they got it ready when the harvest time came, and then they got it home and they did it all. I mean, they did all of it. But number three, what a messy animal! What a mess! So they would plow, B, they carry the crops home, and then C, they tread out the crops. But then number three, what a messy animal. It would be a lot easier to not have any of those animals to need to clean up after. They're messy. It'd just be a lot easier not to have them there, right? It's a lot of work to take care of oxen, right? Anybody here ever took care of cattle? Anybody? No? A little bit? We had a preacher friend of mine. He was down here, preacher Melvin Williams. He came and he was here a while back. He went and got this piece of land, and he had six cows. He had to go every day to take care of them. I think it was only once a week that they would break out of the fence. And you'd have to go chase them down on the road. And then you had to rebuild the fence. Man, it's just a lot of work, right? A lot of work. So that, number one, you know, keeping things clean. The easiest way to keep that clean is just not to have them, right? So number two. The cost of the love of ease. The love of ease, right? Look at there in verse 4 again. So y'all know I'm being facetious on that, right? Y'all know I'm setting you up on that first part. But that is true, right? And what it says there in verse 4, it says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. So if you don't have them, it's clean. But here's the second part of that verse 4. It says, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. So, A, the oxen produce the increase, right? The oxen produce the increase. So, number one, there is a direct exchange. Labor for productivity. It's the way it works. It's a direct exchange. On the inverse, number two, on the inverse, no labor of feeding, tending, and cleaning equals no increase, right? So there's a direct correlation. If I'm going to have the labor of taking care of this animal, it's going to be some productivity with it. But if I don't want the labor, I don't want to clean it, I want to deal with it, I just want a clean area, then what I'm going to do is not have that thing, and I'm going to have no productivity. So it's the general lesson here is nothing without labor, right? Nothing without labor. Increase will not come by itself. Right? Good things do not drop into the mouth of the yawning. I read that somewhere. I thought I had to say that. It's so funny. Like, unless you're Elijah. Okay, well, anyway, that was Sunday, right? So, but this is the thought. Like I'm just going to, like, I'm going to get there and I'm just enjoying my relaxation. You ever built anything sitting on the porch? You know what I'm saying? There takes this kind of situation. And so good things do not drop into the mouth of the yawning. And that's the kind of, anyway, I thought that was funny. So number three, you get what you grow. Okay? You get what you grow. For the believer, this principle couldn't be any truer in our spiritual life. Okay? Listen, number one, if there is going to be increase, there's going to be increase in our spiritual life, it is not going to be the result of luck. Okay? It's not going to be the result. If there's going to be spiritual growth, spiritual increase in our life, and where we grow into the Lord, we grow into the image of the knowledge of Christ, right? If we're going to grow that way, it's not going to be we got lucky, right? There's going to be some labor, some effort given in that sense. God doesn't primarily work through miracles. Okay? This is what I'm saying here. God doesn't primarily work through miracles. Does God do miracles? Obviously. Obviously, yes, He does miracles. But that's not His primary method. Matter of fact, that's why a miracle is miraculous. Because it's unusual. Right? It's not the primary role God does. God doesn't work in our life in miracles on an everyday, weekly basis like that. God does, He works through our labor. Alright? God works through us doing stuff. Right? Go us reading the Word of God, us studying it, us prayer, right? God constantly talks about this. Pray with me. And He tells the apostle, could you not pray for 1 hour? Some of us are like, no. You know what I mean? I mean, the biggest night in our Savior's life, and He said, can you pray with me? And they're like, I wonder what'll happen. They fell asleep. So, I want us to understand this. God, this is a principle for us. Be under that. Being a Christian is not just a position in Christ. It's so much more. Right? It's so much more to being a Christian than just being in the family of God and just be a Christ-like. It's number one, it is to serve the Lord. Keep your place. Well, actually, I don't think we need to really keep our place there because we know these passages. Let's turn to John. John in chapter 12. John in chapter 12 in verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him do what? Follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So, hey, to serve him is to follow him. To serve him is to follow him. Listen, when the Lord is talking about us being conformed into His image, and the Lord is talking about He wants us to be like Him, and He talks about us serving Him, It doesn't mean in the sense is that I'm bringing him a tray of food, right? I'm not providing him stuff. Listen, we don't serve the Lord when we tithe. We worship him. You see, we're worshiping him in that sense of saying, God, I'm acknowledging you, right? And God, I'm trusting you. This is when we tithe. We're saying, God, I trust you. Really is. Because God needs our money. No, he doesn't need our money. Could you imagine if we served a God that needed our money? Wouldn't that be sad? No. It's really God, when we do that, it's our way to say, God, I trust you that if I'm going to give this portion, that you're going to take care of me with the rest. It's really actually a pretty light thing when we think about it. All God says is just 10%. Of course, we really believe in the New Testament really is more than that. And I think in the Old Testament they gave more than that too. They gave offerings and they gave praise offerings and wave offerings. And they gave other things too. So they weren't just 10%. But the 10% is the Lord. So it's not how we serve him. That's how we worship him. But here's what it means to serve the Lord. It's not just what we do for him. It's how we follow him. In the Bible, it's really more often about how we follow what he's asking us to do. Follow to be like him. And really, when we talk about following him in this respect, it has a lot to do with our character, doesn't it? Their attitude, how we speak to one another, right? How we love one another. I mean, he deals with that thing. How do you know? You'll know them by their love one to another. I mean, it's just really straight. And Jesus said, you've heard it said this, but I say, and really all those things were characteristics on how we actually deal with other people. So much of what God says is follow me. He said, listen, watch how I'm going to do this here. I'm going to come down here. I'm going to wash your feet. Right? And he said, listen, who's the greatest among you is going to be your what? Servant. Right? He's going to be your servant. The greatest among you is going to be your servant. So here's what he does. He said, I want you to follow. It isn't about he wants us to constantly be groveling over him. We're going to go at some altars. And you know where that great altar to God is? Oh, wait. He didn't leave us with anything, did he? Right? He didn't leave us on purpose. Because we found something. You know, they have this the shroud. And they put these things. In Sri Lanka, they have their biggest Buddhist temple, the main temple in the middle of the country, in the most elevated place, which is in the city of Kandy. It's the most elevated place that could be fortified and guarded and protected in war. It was actually the last place that was taken in the battle until they lost to the British. And on top in that place is they have a temple, and inside that temple, they have a relic of the Buddha's tooth. It's inside there is supposedly the Buddha's tooth. I don't believe the Buddha ever existed, so that's a different deal. But they have supposedly it's a Buddha's tooth, and people, for the right amount of money, you could actually go in there and get close to it. I'm sure you can't touch it, but you can get close to it, at least a little. So sometimes they'll have a parade and they'll carry this whole thing. And they want something to worship. God said, no, listen, really the way we follow him isn't so much, it isn't so much what we do to him. Yes, we worship him in some ways. As I mentioned, Ty, we worship him in prayer and praise and these things. But mostly how we serve him is by following Jesus. Being like he did. And that's why that whole thing became popular, which I think was a great thing. What would Jesus do? Why was that important? Because I'm supposed to be like him. You know, and so there's this whole thing about, to serve him is to follow him. But number two, it is more than to be rescued. It is to follow the Savior. Listen, being a Christian doesn't just mean I was saved. There's so much more to it than that. I liken it in this kind of getting a family relationship. So in marriage, you know, I got married. Now I'm a husband. You know, where's your wife? I don't know. I don't really see her. Well, Don't you spend time? No, I don't really like her. I just wanted to have a ring and be a husband. Right? Like, that's weird. That you'd say, you're not really married. You're just some strange guy. So that we think that Christianity is just about being saved or even just about going to church. So much more than that. It's so much more than that. It's not just about being rescued. It's about following Him. You know, here's the thing. I don't want to get to this next. Here's the thing. When we got saved, we realized this. In order to be saved, we had to realize that there was something that we needed to be saved from. Right? And that's how we came and said, listen, I'm stuck in the muck and mire of my sin. Right? So I need to be saved from that. So I don't get saved from that and then just stay there. Right? There's so much more. Some people do that, but there's so much more than that. Look at C. See, salvation isn't the end game of this life. It's the beginning. Right? That's when I begin a new life. I'm born again. Now I get to live my life. Before I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Now I'm this isn't where, okay, whew, I got there, now I'm done. Wow, wouldn't that be weird? Wouldn't that be a weird way of thinking that all this whole life, all I'm trying to do is get to the place that I find salvation, and then once I find it, I'm thinking, whew, now I can sit on my porch in a rocker. Wow, no, it does. Look over here in Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. That's not the right verse. Okay, chapter 1. Sorry. I was looking at that. I'm like, that isn't making sense. I do that on occasion. Not make sense. That's true. Also, put the wrong one down. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So, number one, this is from the servants of the Lord, okay? Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to the saints, okay? To all the saints. So this is what I want to establish. So this is from servants to the saints. And here is their message in chapter 2. Their message is in chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, because of all those things, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, he said this. He said work out, not working for. Okay, understand what he's saying. This what he means is this is to work out your salvation. This is to continue in this life now. There's something more to it because of what Jesus did, because of who He is. He's highly exalted because what God's done with Him. We have something that we need to do. This number two under that, this is the instruction to the saints. Work out your own life in Christ. We're to be more than just acquiring it. We're to be doing with it. Okay, so A, God's plan is for you and I to serve Him by doing. Verse 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Listen, folks. That's a work salvation. Sometimes I hate when we. You know what I hate is when people take truth and twist it, and because they've twisted it, now we're afraid to even get near it. Right? Because they've twisted the truth, now we're afraid to get close to that truth. Because if we get close to it, people are going to think we're off on it. Listen, we don't work for salvation, but we work from salvation. Right? Once we've been saved, there's a life that we do, and man, there's so much more. So number four, cleanliness or increase, not both. Cleanliness or increase, not both. Now, when we're talking about cleanliness, we're talking about metaphorically, right? It's okay to be clean. We ought to be clean. Okay, bathe and do stuff like, you know, present yourself. Anyway, okay. A, it will get a little messy at times in serving the Lord. It gets messy serving the Lord. It really does. It gets messy. Sometimes we have to get in a challenging situation. Which we have to make choices, right? Sometimes we have to make choices that make people mad. Like our own family members. Sometimes serving the Lord means I've got to tell somebody that they're not the princess of the world. Right? Yeah. Not Joe. I'm not telling her. But, you know, sometimes I have to tell somebody, listen, you're not right. God says you're a sinner. Yeah. No, listen. Sometimes I've got to hurt people. Not that I've got to hurt people, but sometimes it hurts people and it gets messy and people, and then you're like, no, I'm just kidding. No, they start crying, right? You're like, no, just kidding, you're fine. No, I'm just saying, sometimes serving the Lord gets messy. Sometimes it gets messy in this way. What God wants me to do is be such a blessing to other people that sometimes they have more than I do. Now, they don't need anything. That's really not the point. It gets messy sometimes serving the Lord. But number one, that is the cost of much increase. Which do you want? Which do you want? Do you want to have everything in your life? I mean, listen, you've heard me say many times, and I still stand by this. I like everything to work out for me all the time. I like no problems. Everybody likes me. Everything works out. Everything's smooth. But that's not how real life works, is it? Not if you're going to see the increase. Sometimes there's some challenges with it. But what do you want? What do you want? A clean crib? Or much increase? And I think we know what the Lord desires on that one. In this case, be quite honest, we're the oxen. We're the ones, people are messy. It's been said many times, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. Right? People are messy. We got people with human nature dealing with other people with human nature. Right? And there's times when you're dealing with people, it's as wonderful as it can be. There's times that you don't mind cleaning up behind people. Do you know what I mean? I love it when we have some kids coming in here and I don't want the kids coming in and just making a mess just so we have a mess to clean up. I don't want to do that. But I want somebody here that there's a mess that the church needs to be cleaned on Tuesdays. Right? I like a place that looks like it's been used. Right? Now, I think we ought to clean it back up because it's the Lord's house. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the alternative isn't, let's just Let's all just meet in the foyer so we don't get the pews dirty. You know what I mean? Listen, it's going to get a little messy sometimes when we're going to deal with people. And sometimes people are just going to be ugly. That's the way it means. It's just, you know what I say when I'm saying people get ugly? You know, I'm not talking about their looks. I'm talking about their attitude. In Texas, that's what we say. Y'all better quit being ugly. You know what I mean? And sometimes folks are just ugly in their attitude and their spirit. And, you know, maybe our first inclination is to say, I wish they weren't here. Right? And that is first thing you're like, but listen, it's going to have to, if there's going to be an increase, we're going to have to be the ox, and sometimes it's going to get a little ugly. Sometimes it's going to get a little bit like that, and we have a work to do. And that is cleaning up after the ox, which we are. Right? Amen. But if we're going to have the increase, God said, that's what he's trying to teach his son. Solomon's trying to teach his son. Listen, there is a labor connected to the increase. There's a labor connected to it. And we're going to have some things. And what do we want to do? Do we want the increase? Amen. The increase isn't just numerically, it's spiritually. But I find this, when there's a spiritual increase, there becomes a numerical increase. It's just the way it goes. When we are being what God wants us to be, God will use us to reach others. And that's just the way it goes. And then we have these noisy kids back there. Amen. Isn't that a good sound? I mean, I don't want that coming in or disrupting us. But I'm glad it's back. I'm glad we have that opportunity. So we're going to have to get a little dirty. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you'd use us. And Lord, you'd use us in spite of the mess that we bring with us. Lord, you so often, Lord, always have to put up with our mess. And somehow, Lord, you seem fit to use us anyway. And Lord, I'm thankful for that. And I pray that you would continue to, Lord, find us faithful to be in the place. And Lord, help us in these areas that we're not. Lord, we help us to have the attitude with one another and people. And Lord, there's such a challenge throughout the Word of God of us dealing with one another. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us, encourage us, that we might desire to be the oxen that are serving and get in the midst of it, even if it causes us some challenges. And Lord, we're asking you to give the increase. And Lord, you said you would. So we're trusting you for that now tonight. Now, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.